get up here and talk before you. But unlike Evan, I've not done any marathons and don't plan on it anytime soon. Appreciate all the people who are here with us. And hopefully tonight we take out our Bibles and follow along what's been said and make sure that what I say is correct and according to God's Word. And the older I get, the more I feel it as a privilege, as an honor, to be able to stand before you and to preach God's Word, because someday we're going to have to answer for the things we do, and hopefully we're all ready for that day. Let's talk tonight about blessings and responsibilities of being a Christian. Everyone is going to face everyone is going to either face sometime an important event. It may be birth, it may be marriage, it may even be death. But some things, these are important events. But one of the more important events is becoming a Christian. Will you or will you not become a Christian? Why? It affects you, and it also may affect others for an eternity. And definitely will affect your children, whether or not you're a Christian. So it's an important event in our lives that we must realize and understand. Are we a Christian or not? And in this lesson, I hope that we can learn to be more fruitful to our service to God and disciples of Christ. The first blessing I want us to look at is the number one here, is God as our Heavenly Father. What a blessing it is to have a God who loves us and takes care of us, and a God who will accept us one day if we live according to His Word. In John, 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. What an honor it is, again, to be called a child of God. Wrong way. Donnie's got new stuff up here and I ain't figured it out. There we go. All right, let's consider the blessings of having God as our Father. The first one we're going to look at is God is the source of every good and perfect gift from above. James 1, verse 17. James 1, 17. James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadows of turning. I wonder sometimes, are we thankful for all the gifts that God has given us? Do we think about the things God has given us? We should be, because it is from God we receive these wonderful blessings. The second point there, He provides us comfort in all of our tribulations. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by the Lord. In these two verses alone, we see the word comfort mentioned 5 times here. And we realize that God is the source of our comfort. When we lose loved ones, or when you're have an illness in your family, who is the one you need to turn to? God, because God is our comfort. The question is, do we turn to Him? And if we do we have the faith in Him that He can help us and He can comfort us? Because, again, He is the provider of comfort. God is our Heavenly Father. Again, the blessing is when we need to be disciplined. I have a hard time with that word, so I'll use discipline. So when we need to be disciplined, God does it for us. He does it out of love. He doesn't do it because He doesn't like us, but He does it out of love. And let's look at that. This one, it means to discipline, to punish. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Turn over there with me. Evan read it this morning, as a matter of fact. Verses 5 through 11. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addressed you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Not be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. For it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, when you are illegitimate children and not sons, besides this, we have an earthly father who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of the spirits and live? For they disciplined for us for a short time, and it seemed best to them. But he disciplined us for our good, that we can share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. What it does for us, it makes us live right. Discipline makes us live right. We may not enjoy it. When we're raised as children and you're spanked or whipped, it's not pleasant at that time, is it? Playing in a fire, you see your children out there playing in a fire and you're worried about them, you go out there and you discipline them. It's for their good. They might be having fun, but it's for their good. And later on, they'll realize, hey, I could have burned the house down. So God, he disciplines us for our own good. Unfortunately, we see children today who are not disciplined. And when there is no discipline, there is chaos. And then sin reigns in their lives. And I want my children, and I'm sure you want your children to be disciplined as well, so they obey and be faithful to God. And God wants the same thing for us. Therefore, he disciplines us. Another blessings we have is God has promised he would never forsake us. Hebrews 13:5-6. Hebrews 13:5-6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? You know, have you ever had someone promise you something and you was depending on them? You show up, maybe they promised you to meet them in a certain place. You show up and you sit there and you sit there. And guess what? They didn't come through on their promise, did they? So it's hard to rely on man sometimes. But God says he, when he makes a promise, he will come through with it. And we can believe it. God said he would never forsake us, and he won't. When times on this earth seems like it's so bad that we can't deal with it, remember, God will not forsake us no matter what happens. As long as we are living according to as we should, then that is a blessing to us. God will not forsake us. Yet looking at all these blessings, we have to realize that there are responsibilities for having God as our Father. We have to meet some requirements, don't we? First, we have to obey his commandments. We must submit to God. James 4:7 simply says, submit to God, resist the devil. Now, how do we do that? By submitting to his word. And by submitting to his providential workings in our lives. Turn with me to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5:6-11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary the devil prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We need to let God work through us, in our hearts, through his word. And he's going to make us stronger, as the verses say. He's going to make us stronger, and we can face tough times a lot easier. But if we want the blessing of having God as our Father, we have to submit to him. Secondly, we must draw near to God. James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Just as an earthly father delights when his children wants to draw near to him, so does God. Matthew 23:37. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as hens gather her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. You know, it's as a father, I know how important it is for my children to come to me and feel like they can come to me when they need me. And I want to be there for them, and it's a wonderful feeling to know that I can help them. I can help them through the things that they may need, take care of them physically, and help them with God's Word. And it's a good feeling, and it's a wonderful feeling that their children want to draw near to you. Well, how do you think God feels about us? We're His children. He wants us the same for us. He wants us to draw near to Him. He can help us better than anybody. And we draw near to God, according to James 4, verse 8, by cleansing our hands and purifying our hearts. It says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The only way we're going to be near to God is we must get rid of the sin that we have in our lives. So the blessing we have is God is our Heavenly Father. The responsibilities we have to submit to Him, and we have to draw near to Him. Let's look at our second point here. Another blessing in our lives is Jesus. Jesus as our priest, our high priest, and our Lord. Hebrews 4, verse 14, our compassionate high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. I want us to think for a moment about this wonderful blessing here. As Jesus as our high priest and as our Lord. He who is our Lord is also He who rules over the kings of the earth. Again, Revelation chapter 1, if you'll turn there. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, on the earth, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and made us a kingdom, priest to His God and Father, to be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, whatever happens in this country or the countries that are around us, we can always remember God is in control. He is the ruler of all kings. And whatever happens here, it happens. But we can always fall back on this promise that we have here, this blessing that we have. Christ is the ruler. And they're in control. The second thing here, all authority in heaven has been given to Him. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then all have been made subject to Him. In 1 Peter 3, verse 22, who has gone into heaven and it is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to Him. Christ has been given the authority to judge us. He has power over the world. It's a blessing to have someone who is going to judge us, who knows and can sympathize with us because He lived here. He faced temptations just like we are. Yet He went through it perfectly, and it just shows us that we can do it. But we're blessed to have someone who has been through the same things that we go through, and He will be our judge. The next blessing is that He calls us brethren. Hebrews chapter 2, 11 through 12 says, for He who sanctifies for those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. When we obey God and His commands and we're trying our best to please Him, we are called His brethren. What a blessing, again, this is. As a high priest, He intercedes on our behalf. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Romans 8, 34 says, Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Christ is he intercedes on our behalf. He's a high priest who understands our every feeling. Hebrews chapter 2, 17 through 18. Like I said before, Christ was suffered on this earth. He went through all the temptations that we go through. And he's a high priest who lives forever, or ever lives, to make intercession for us. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save the uttermost, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Christ continues forever. What a blessing that is. It's through him that we can be saved. It's because he came to this earth and died on a cross. Christ understands and is able to deliver us from temptation. Now, what are some responsibilities of having this blessing as Jesus our Lord and High Priest? Well, if we want this blessing, then we're going to have to do some things. We must, if he is truly our Lord, we must do as he says. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You ever thought about this question? It should prick us to the heart. It make us think. Are we doing everything he tells us to do, or are we only picking out certain things and doing those? If we are his disciple, we must do everything that he says. Then Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It tells us we must observe what he has taught. Again, you can't pick out certain things of the Bible and follow that. And then the other things that you don't like, don't read it. That's not the way we do it. That's not the way God wants you to do. If you want God to be your Lord and you want to be blessed by him and go to heaven, you must follow his word. And then John 15, verse 14, you keep his commandments. It says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So are we doing what he commands? Another responsibility we must do is we must also utilize his role as our high priest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. A few chapters over. Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Christ was here on earth. He was tempted just like we were, yet he went without sin. So who better to turn to than Christ, who knows and understands what we go through? He showed us that we can get through these temptations. We can do it. Helps us to overcome sin because he overcame every form of temptation. What a blessing it is to have Jesus as our Lord and as our high priest. In other words, we must be quick to obtain mercy and to find grace and help for us in time of need because he understands. For the Christian, this involves prayer. How do we expect God to help us? Or how do we expect God to deliver us from temptation if we never ask him? He won't. We have to ask. We have to ask for help. Thirdly, let's look at the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? What a wonderful blessing it is to know that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. He gives us strength to put the fleshly deeds of the body. Romans 8, verses 11 through 13. Romans chapter 8. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will be put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Then in Ephesians 3, verse 16, says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glories to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. If the Holy Spirit lives in us, then we won't be living for the earthly body. The earthly desires of this world, we won't care about it. Because the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit also will put life into us. And He does it through the Word of God. So what a blessing it is to have the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. What else does the Spirit do? He helps us in our weakness when it comes to praying as we ought and act as an intercessor for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with the groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He pleads on our behalf to God. He intercedes for us. You know, that's a hard passage to grasp here, but all I have to know is it is a blessing to know the Spirit is interceding for me when I am praying to God. So what? So that's a blessing that we have from the Holy Spirit. So what are the responsibilities that we have? Do we have in view of the Holy Spirit? The first thing we need to do is to keep the temple of God, the Holy Church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll be studying this next week in our Bible classes, verse 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are holy. We are to glorify God with our temple. We are to glorify God even with our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Let's read that as well. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for we have been bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. We cannot keep committing sins against our bodies and expect God to be with us. Our bodies is not ours. It does not belong to us. It belongs to God, and we must treat it right. We have been bought with a price. Therefore, we should glorify God with it. So how are we treating the temple of God? Again, another responsibility to have if we want the blessing of the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Next, responsibilities that we have, we are to walk in the Spirit. Being so led by the Spirit has to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Here we see what the Spirit does for us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For they are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's jump down to verse 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So we do this by setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh and set their minds on things of the flesh. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds to things of the Spirit. You know, if we set our minds on spiritual things and do the things we should, then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then what we need to ask ourselves, have we crucified this flesh of passion and desire? We have to get rid of these things. And spiritual mindedness, when we're spiritually minded, it is peace. Another point, another responsibility, which involves the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God gives us all a way to make things easier. He has given us His Word. Through His Word. And through His Word, we can become Christians. Through His Word, we are pleasing to Him. And through His Word, we can have a home with Him in heaven. The thing is, we have to follow His Word. The last point is the church and our family. Another blessing that we have. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and ground of the truth. The blessing of having the church as our family in 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 through 2. The members become like fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters. 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2 says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. So, how do you treat each other? Do we treat each other as brethren? No, even this the church, even the physical relations we may lose when we become Christians. We may gain brothers and sisters of Christ. You know, we may have to break ties with our physical families because maybe it might prevent you from obeying the Word of God. Sometimes we may have to break these ties. There are some responsibilities of having a church as our family. Along with this blessing is responsibilities. First of all, we have to edify one another. You know the verse well, Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. We have to edify one another. This means we assemble together frequently. And how can we do that if we're not here? How can I edify any of my brethren if I'm not here? And how can I be edified by others or you if I'm not here? We have to be here in order to be edified. At Bible classes, I know Bible class is not part of worship, but it is a place where we can be edified. We can grow together. It feels good when you got a class full of people who want to know more about God. It is edifying. And it's not so much, it's not edifying, put it that way, and when but you don't come to class. Because it just feels like we could do better. And I think we fail at this sometimes. And it requires we each one do our share. Ephesians 4, 15 through 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is head, which is Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Every person here in this audience tonight is doing some kind of role. It may not be nothing but sitting in a pew, singing along, and being here. You're edifying us that way. Just showing up is encouraging. Everyone has a part. To know there are others in this world who loves God is a wonderful blessing to know and to have. So that is some of the responsibilities we have to have this blessing of the church as our family. As a church, we are responsible to bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespasses, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So that, for such is the law of Christ, and it requires we know each other well and be dependent on for support. And how are you going to do that if you don't know your brethren? Again, another responsibility of having the church as our family. And that concludes what I had to say here tonight. But there are many more blessings and responsibilities that we have as Christians. And hopefully this has impressed on us how blessed we are as Christians. Because we have the Heavenly Father, God as our Heavenly Father. We have Jesus, the Son, the Lord, the High Priest. We have the Holy Spirit, which dwells within us. And we also have the church as a family. How important it is to fulfill these responsibilities that we have. Because we may lose every one of these blessings that we have if we're not faithful and do what God has told us to do. And there may be one or more here tonight who has not obeyed the gospel. If you haven't, you have the opportunity to do so tonight. You never know when your time on this earth is going to end. This week I've lost a good friend through the accident, and I never would have thought his time was over. But that's what happens. You do not know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't even know what you're going to do after service tonight. So are you ready? If you aren't, you need to make your life right. And if you have been baptized, yet you have fallen away, you have this opportunity also to come forward. Now as we stand and sing.